Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A group of people were going on a tour of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The tour bus driver was also the tour guide. They're driving through the city, and as they go past one landmark after another, he'd just say a few interesting facts about that landmark. As they drove past that massive building called the Pentagon, the bus slowed and came to a stop in front of it, and he went on and shared some details, including how it took about a year and a half to build the Pentagon between 1941 and 1943. Back then it cost $83 million, he said. In 2015 dollars, it would be $1.3 billion to build the Pentagon, he explained. As he shared those details, he heard a lady's voice from the middle of the bus say, "Boy, that sure is an expensive building that took a long time to build. I'm from Peoria. And let me tell you, if they had built that building in Peoria, we could have built it in half the time for half the money." Now the tour bus went on. The next building they passed by was the Department of Justice building. And again, the bus slowed to a stop in front of the Department of Justice building. And the driver explained how back between back in 1930s from 1930 to 1935, it actually took 5 years to build the Department of Justice building. Back then, it cost $10 million to build it. And again, he heard that voice in the middle of the bus. "Well, if they had built that building in Peoria, we could have built it twice as fast for half the money." The tour bus went on. The next landmark they passed was the Washington Monument. You know, that tall, gleaming, white structure, high up, standing very tall. He slowed as they're passing the Washington Monument, but didn't say anything. And he heard that same voice from the middle of the bus this time. She said, "Well, that building right there, what's that building?" Bus driver stopped, looked at the Washington Monument, and said, "Huh, that's interesting. That wasn't there last week." No one likes a bragger, do they? But boy, we brag, don't we? We boast, don't we? We talk about our accomplishments. We talk about where we've been, what we've done, how smart we are, and who we've met. Like I said, nobody likes a bragger. Someone trying to make themselves look better or more important than someone else. God doesn't care for bragging and boasting either. We find that out very clearly in his word. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar boasted about how powerful he and his country were. And in that book of Daniel, God judged Nebuchadnezzar. In the Old Testament, remember Goliath? Goliath boasted about how big and powerful he was among the Philistines. And God brought him down. In the Gospels, Jesus talked about a Pharisee who came before God's altar and before God boasted about how wonderful and how good and righteous he is as a Pharisee. And because of that, he missed out on God's grace and forgiveness. God's word said some things like this about boasting. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, God says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow will bring." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Remember that chapter of the Bible? It's read at almost every wedding out there. It's about love. Remember what it says about boasting? It says, love does not boast and is not arrogant. God does not have much use for boasting. In the Old Testament, there's a neat story about King David. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 22. In this time, King David was on the run because King Saul was trying to kill him. King David had tried to seek refuge and protection from a neighboring king, but then found out that his safety was compromised, and so he was on the run, which takes us right to 1 Samuel chapter 22, where King David finds a cave, the cave of Adullam. It's not far from Bethlehem, David's hometown. He hides out in the cave of Adullam, and he soon finds that he's not alone there. Well, 400 other people join him in the cave of Adullam. His mom and dad are there. His family members are there. Like I said, a total of about 400 people from all different walks of life. But the Bible tells us that those 400 people who joined David in the cave of Adullam all had something in common. The cave of Adullam comes from the Hebrew root word of refuge. Kind of a coincidence that this is where David and these 400 people would seek refuge. Of those 400 people, they all had something in common. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, as the refugees, the people hiding out in the cave of Adullam are described, that one sentence says that everyone there was in distress. Everyone in that cave was in debt. And everyone in that cave was bitter in soul. They didn't have much to boast about, did they? All in distress, all in debt, all bitter in soul. When I look into 1 Samuel chapter 22 and look into that cave of Adullam with King David and those 400 people hiding out, I can see myself in that cave. I would fit pretty well in with that group. In distress, in debt, bitter in soul. When it comes to our walk before God, isn't that where we all stand? On our own, before God, aren't we in distress? In debt for our sins, bitter in soul, without much hope. This morning in our second reading, Paul writes about that too. Where we stand on our own before God. Where we did stand before God before we came to know Jesus Christ. Listen again to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in this world to shame the strong. God chose what is low in this world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you who are in Jesus Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Let him who boasts boast in the world, in the Lord. We don't have much to boast in on our own. But when God brought us to faith in Jesus Christ, he changed everything. I think we see a glimpse of our walk with God back in the cave of Adullam too. Among those 400 people who were in distress, in death, in bitterness of soul, in that cave of refuge, again, we can see ourselves in another way. You see, in that cave of refuge, David wrote one of the Psalms, too. It was Psalm number 34 he wrote in that cave. And listen to what he wrote in verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 34 from the cave of Adullam, from that cave of refuge. A poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. A poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. We as sinners cry out, ask God for forgiveness. God hears us and God saves us. God saw the trouble we're in because of our sins. He saw the debt we are in because of our sins. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay that debt. He sent his son, Jesus, to rescue us from our debt and the trouble we're in because of our sins. David goes on with verse 7, though, of Psalm 34 and writes these words. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him, delivers them. In the Old Testament, that expression, the angel of the Lord, is a reference to the second person of the Trinity. The angel of the Lord in Old Testament times is a reference to the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. So now listen to that verse again. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Way back in Old Testament times, David knew the blessings of Jesus. That verse speaks to us too and where we're at. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Doesn't Jesus of Nazareth say to us, I am with you always to the very end of the age? No, we don't have much to boast in about ourselves. But we have so much to boast in about Jesus. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, Paul tells us. How blessed it is to know that Jesus is camping with us, that Jesus is indeed with us. But sometimes it can still be scary, can't it? Life can still be frightening, even though we know that Jesus is encamping with us. Sometimes we're like that little girl who cried out in the middle of the night because of thunder and lightning blasting away outside of her window. She said, Mommy, Daddy. Her daddy came into her room and said, It's okay, honey, it's just thunder and lightning. He just said, Daddy, it's so loud. It scares me. And her dad said, But honey, remember, Jesus is with you. Even when you're alone in your room and the door is closed, it's noisy outside, Jesus is with you. The little girl said to her daddy, "But daddy, I know that Jesus is with me, but right now I just want someone with skin on to love me. I just want someone with skin on to love me." We're in that place sometimes, aren't we? We just want someone with skin on to love me. As you leave here this morning, knowing that Jesus is with you, as you leave here this morning, knowing that I don't have much to boast in about myself, but there's so much to boast in about God, as you leave here this morning, knowing that the angel of the Lord encamps around you and he delivers you and protects you, look around you for someone who may be looking for someone with skin on to love them. Because doesn't our Savior Jesus call us to be his hands and his feet, his voice, his heart, the light of the world? That person looking for someone with skin on to love them may be looking for the presence of Jesus in your life to encourage them, to approach them in humility and be the presence of Jesus in their lives, to show them who Jesus is, what he has done, and what he calls us to be. No, we have nothing to boast in of our own accord, but we have everything to boast in when it comes to Jesus. May Jesus' words and the great things he has done be on our lips and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.